Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be back with you again to share from God's Word. It's great when you open up the window and you see another beautiful summer day. We have to enjoy these great days while we still can, right? Well, last time I was here, I don't know if you recall what I spoke about, but I spoke on the topic of prayer. I had the message entitled, "It Takes Faith to Pray." And maybe a little brief review of that message, because it kind of leads into the message coming up. So first of all, we talked about how it takes faith to pray because we have to believe that God exists, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It also takes faith to believe that God listens in spite of all the people in the world who are praying at the same time, right? And because of our smallness, we have to have faith that God actually listens to us. It takes faith to pray because we have to believe that God not only hears our prayers, but that he cares and that he understands. It takes faith to believe also that God is able and willing to answer our prayers. And it takes faith to believe that our prayers can make a difference in this world and in God's kingdom. And you might recall I gave you a little bit of a homework assignment, so I'm going to see if you did your homework. Remember I suggested that every time you receive a text or a phone call that you pray for that person, or after you've had that phone call or text. So maybe just a reminder to do that as well, to pray for the people that we connect with. Well, after the sermon that I spoke last time I was here, someone came up to me and said, "Well, that was, you know, appreciated that, but you forgot to mention about hearing from God when we're praying." And I go, "Hey, that's a good point." And you know what? That's another sermon. So you know what? This morning, that's the other sermon. So here you go. I can't remember who it was that mentioned it to me, but maybe you're here today. So that's the title of our sermon, Hearing God. Now, suppose a phone rang, and you answered the phone, and the voice said, "This is God." What would you do? Would you hang up thinking that it was a prank call? Would you look at the display and say, "Oh, is a call display saying from heaven?" And would you be shocked and maybe faint when you saw that it was? Or would you turn to a family member and say, "Oh, it must be for you." Or would you have the response of Samuel in the Bible? Remember, what was his response when he heard God calling him? Anybody? What did he say? He said, "Speak, your servant is listening." Now, I admit that getting a phone call from God seems strange. But what about the possibility of really hearing from God? The comedian Lily Tomlin said this, and it's on the board, on the screen. "Why is it that when we speak to God, we are said to be praying, but when God speaks to us, we are said to be schizophrenic?" I came across a book a while ago, written by Dallas Willard, very good author, and called Hearing God. And so some of these ideas I'm going to share with you are from that book as well. And he had a quote, and I'd like to make a quote or read a quote from his book. He said, "Hearing God? A daring idea. Some would say presumptuous and even dangerous. But what if we were made for it? Is it not, in fact, more presumptuous and dangerous to undertake human existence without hearing God?" In his book, he shares about a story of a person sharing an experience of theirs. And they were talking about, and maybe you've heard testimonies like this too as well, saying, "Oh, God told me to do this, and God said, then God said this, and then God told me to do this." And as if the person was having a coffee time with God or maybe a phone call with God, and sharing their experience about how they were hearing from God. And perhaps another person having a very similar experience would not use that kind of language, like "God said to me" or "God told me" or things like that, right? And so these kinds of things raise different kinds of questions. And the topic of hearing God raises lots of questions as well. For example, Does God speak today? How does God speak? Does God speak to me? How do I know when it's God speaking? When was the last time I have or you have heard from God? And some might say, well, never in such a way like God's talking to me, like a phone call or a conversation, as some people express. Others might say, well, I can't remember the last time that God spoke to me. Or maybe you could say, well, God spoke to me this morning when I opened the window and I experienced the wonder of creation, or when I read in Scripture this morning, or maybe when I'm hearing a song that we sang. I certainly sense God speaking to me as we were singing here this morning. And much can be said about hearing from God's word. And we're going to share a few things this morning. One of the things, if you're studying Christian theology, if you were in a Bible class, we would learn that the theologians have come to express some terms about speaking or God's communication with us. The first one is called general revelation. And this is the knowledge that God has made plain and visible to everyone, people in general, okay, that is evident to them. And usually this is in terms of creation, the created order. What God has made reveals God's power to us. And we have these in our verses before us. Okay, I think we can read this together, can't we? Let's read that together. Psalm 19, 1 through 4 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Today they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." This is kind of like a paradox, right? Like, there is no actual literal voice, but yet God is speaking, God is shouting, "I am here, I am present. I am part of this world. He made the world." And then also we have this in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Let's read this together as well. "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." So the first means of communication is general revelation. And the second way of communications is called special revelation. And this is more specific. And it shows how God has revealed himself to us in different ways and through direct miracles that we have recorded in Scripture. And there's different appearances of God, like to Moses in the burning bush or to Joshua. And also, as we know, in dreams, the Bible has many stories about dreams. Joseph, right, about his brothers bowing down to him, and Joseph and Mary, right? Joseph had the dream about taking Mary as his wife, and different visions that people have. Peter, the vision that he had, and various other ones. And the climax of God's special revelation, obviously, is Jesus Christ, Jesus incarnate, coming in the flesh to reveal his will and who he is to us as his people. And then, obviously, we have Scripture, which is a very specific revelation from God, a special revelation from God. And this is the main way that we, as believers, hear God is through the Word of God. This is the Bible that records God's interaction with his people. And it's interesting to read through the Bible if we think about the theme of hearing from God. We could trace this theme all throughout the Bible from the very beginning when we hear about Adam and Eve. And what are they doing in the garden? It says the Scripture that they were walking and talking with God. They had this communication, this conversation with God. And we hear other examples throughout Scripture of different people communicating with God, interacting with his people. But rather than trace the whole history of God speaking throughout the Bible, I'm going to focus mainly on one passage, and that's in John chapter 1, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. So let's read this together as well. "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Let's just pause there for a second. So the understanding was, from the research, is that the shepherd with his sheep would go out throughout the day finding grass and water. And then at the end of the day, the various shepherds from the villages would come back and they would like use a communal pen. And that would be protecting all the all the sheep. And there would be a gate there. And then there would be a guard. Right, you talk to the, that there, you can hear, see that there, right? The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. So then the next day, the shepherd comes to this communal pen, and the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd. And then the shepherd calls his sheep, and the sheep know his voice, right? They won't go for the other shepherd that comes, but the sheep, the shepherd calls out his sheep, and then they follow him. So that's kind of the picture that you have there. Of the communal pen. Okay, so let's go back to that other one and continue reading. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Does it go on to the next slide, to the next couple of verses? Oh yeah, there we go. Here we go. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. So what is it that we learn from this passage about God's communicating to us and hearing from God? Well, the first thing that we see is that God does speak. He does communicate. This is a very simple but profound truth that the shepherd calls and the sheep, we, his followers, hear him. And as we know, communication is very essential for relationships. And God's word is a story of a relationship between the Creator, God, and his creatures, who he made in his likeness. God, the Creator, and God's communication with his people is a reality and something to be expected. Now, for unbelievers, it might seem to them to be very ridiculous that a person can actually hear a supernatural being that communicates with them. They may think that we're crazy, that we've lost it, right? However, communication with God should not be surprising to Christians when we consider the personal nature of God. He's a personal being. And the fact of our human nature, that we've been created in his image. God created us to be in communion with him, as is evident when God created Adam and Eve in the garden and they walked and they talked together. And there's many other examples, like think about Noah and Abraham and Moses and Joshua and Samuel and David and the prophets and the apostles. All these people, it's recorded how they were in communion and in relationship with God. We are also in relationship with God. Are we expecting God to speak with us? Well, some might think, well, hearing God, that's just for people in the Bible, right? Or that's just for the clergy, or that's just for the leaders of the church, or that's just for the spiritual people in the world. That's just for the charismatics, right? That's not, why would God want to speak to me? And this leads us to our second truth. This leads us to the truth that the basis for hearing God is our relationship with God. We can expect God to communicate to us because we belong to God. We are part of his flock. We are his sheep. We are his children. We are in a relationship with God. And Jesus, the good shepherd, calls us by our name. Are you good at remembering people's names? Some are good at it, some are not so good at it. This one fellow, this elderly couple, they were out for coffee with another elderly couple, and the man just kept calling, saying to his wife, sweetheart, and darling, and honey bunch, and all these wonderful names, right? And then the wife got up and went to the washroom, and then he says, wow, that was really nice of you calling your wife all these wonderful names. He says, yeah, sometimes with my Alzheimer's, I just keep forgetting her name, right? So calls her sweetheart. But the truth is that God knows our name. He knows us. He remembers who we are. Can you imagine a relationship where there is no communication? It really wouldn't be a relationship at all. The key to a healthy marriage is good communication. My wife reminds me of this when I get to maybe a phase in my work and I'm very, very busy and I don't seem to have much time and we haven't talked for a while. My wife, you know, hello, I'm over here. You know, we haven't talked for a while. We are in a relationship. We are married, you know. Oh yeah, right. Yes, you know, we need to talk, right, and set aside time for communicating. Some couples, when they fight, they have this technique called the silent treatment. Never a very positive, good way to have an argument is through a silent treatment. Not good for communication, obviously. If we claim to be in relationship with God, communication should be a very natural and integral part of our relationship. And this communication should not just be one way. I remember a conversation I overheard in my family, and one of my kids was just talking on the phone and talking and talking and talking. Is there even another person on the other side? Like, shouldn't this be a two-way conversation? Like, how come you're not listening to the other person, right? So sometimes conversations can be like that, but that's not how our relationship with God should be. We are God's children, right? And children need to hear from their parents, don't they? They need to hear words of encouragement, words of love, words of praise, words of comfort, words of hope, words of rebuke, of correction. They need to hear words, don't they? And we, as God's children, we need to hear God speaking and communicating to us as well. The key to our relationship with God and with that makes this communication possible is the great mystery and truth that God's Spirit lives within us. Recall the words of Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. I think we have this on the board too, in the next slide, I believe. Matthew 28, 20. Let's read this together. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And how is God present with us always? It's through his indwelling Holy Spirit. Let's read these next verses together from Romans chapter 8. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So God's Spirit has united with our spirit. That's the miracle of being born again, the new birth. And then, next verse here in 1 John 2:27, let's read it together. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. So the Spirit is actually communicating with us. And John chapter 14, verse 23 and 26. Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with them. And when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you." Just to focus on that verse. "And we will come and make our home with each of them." Isn't that amazing? That God, the Creator, actually lives within us. He makes his home with us by his Spirit. That is so profound. And God is a God who communicates. God is living with us. Of course we can expect God to communicate with us. His Spirit is living within us. So we all have received communication from God and with God. Think about when you've ever experienced conviction of sin. Have you ever felt convicted about sin? That's the Holy Spirit communicating and speaking with you. Have you ever experienced comfort in the midst of sorrow? That's God's Spirit communicating with you. Have you ever experienced peace during difficult times? That's God's Spirit communicating with your spirit. Have you ever experienced when you're reading a passage of Scripture and go, "Oh, I just needed that very word," or perhaps a message or some devotional, and that's exactly what I needed to hear. That is God speaking to you. Maybe you needed a sense of direction. What should I do in this situation? And then, you know what? I just sense from God that that's what I need to do. That's what I should do. Or just the opposite. A friend was telling me the other day about a purchase, a fairly large purchase that he was going to make. And he thought about it. He made this decision. He's going to do this and this. And then this didn't kind of work out. This didn't. He just felt in his spirit that this was not the right thing to do. And he canceled the business that he was doing. And that's probably happened to you as well. Just didn't really feel right. That can be God's Spirit also working within you. So we see that the basis of hearing from God is our relationship with him, which is made possible by his Spirit that dwells within us. This is the metaphor that we see of the sheep who hears the shepherd's voice and calls them. And then the third truth we see from this passage in John chapter 10 is that we hear God's voice in order that we may follow him. In verses 3 and verse 4, it talks about the shepherd calling out, and I'll just reread those verses for you. "The watchman opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out, and they so that they follow him." Now, I'm told that sheep are not actually all that smart, right? And they certainly need a shepherd to lead them and to guide them. They would be lost and starve to death. But the shepherd has knowledge. He knows where the good pastures are, and he leads them in those directions. As sheep with finite, limited wisdom and knowledge, we need God's guidance and direction. Life is complex. We need direction as individuals. We need direction as a church in discovering spiritual gifts and discovering how we should serve and how best to use our own spiritual gifts and how we should serve one another and how we should serve the community. We need God's wisdom and direction. And there's a wonderful promise in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Let's just read that together. "Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, 'This is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left.'" We as sheep need to follow the good shepherd. And where does the shepherd lead us? Where does the shepherd lead us? Well, in Psalm 23, also have that metaphor and that image of a shepherd leading. Let's read the first three verses of Psalm 23 together. "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name." This is where he leads us. And in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, "I have come that you might have life and have life abundantly." This is when we follow Jesus, we have a life that is abundant. So the question is, are we listening to his voice? And are we following close to the shepherd? And are we obeying his voice? Perhaps we are following, but we're kind of following from afar, and we can barely hear the voice of the shepherd. Maybe we don't want to hear because we're afraid what he might say, that he might ask us something to do. And at times we have trouble hearing God because there's so much noise in our lives. We're too busy to listen. We don't take time to still our hearts and our minds. We spend so much time at work or being entertained as a society that there's very little time to actually hear from God. And perhaps we like it this way. We kind of like to keep our distance. We don't really want to be so close. As someone said, well, you know, we're as close to God as we want to be. There's a story about this man and woman in the car. And they were, you know, sitting. And they said, remember those old days, right, when you used to sit really close to me? This is when they had bench seats, right? Not the regular seats most cars have today, right? And she said, remember the days when we were so close together and I would cuddle up to you and you would drive the car? And then and he says, yep. He says, I didn't move. The thing is, you know, we're as close to God as we want to be, right? Because God doesn't move. God doesn't move. We're as close to God as we want to be. My dad, in his later years, he had hearing aids. And people would get frustrated with him, though, because you know what? He wouldn't use his hearing aids very often, right? He just always didn't want to hear, right? So the thing is, what about us? What about our hearing aids? Do we have our hearing aids turned on in our relationship with God? So I challenge you and I challenge myself to listen intently to God so that we might follow closely. And we follow closely so that we might hear God's voice. The two go hand in hand. So the question comes, well, how can I best hear God speaking? I know God speaks. I'm his sheep. God is speaking to me. He wants to speak. He wants us to listen. So how can I have better hearing? Well, the first thing we can do, some practical things. One is just to ask him, God, speak to me. There's a prayer in Psalm 119. One of the verses says, open my ears that I might hear from you, from your word. So it's a prayer. God, reveal yourself to me. Speak to me. So that's a very simple thing. We can just ask God, God, speak to me. And then we can ask him. And the second thing is we should expect God to speak to us, to have an open heart, an open mind, to be listening, to have an attentive attitude, to have a positive, open attitude. And another way, obviously, is through Scripture, through reading, through meditating, through listening to sermons, different ways that we can hear God through his word speaking to us. And then also through different ways. It could be through a song, it could be through nature, it could be through a prayer from another person, it could be from different books, it could be from devotional books or theology books or any book, really. It can be through other people. It can be through circumstances God can speak to us. It can be through dreams that God can speak to us. All different ways that God uses to speak to us, but we just need to pay attention and to listen to God. And my wife has a story about a time in her life when God spoke to her. So I'm just going to come ask her as we end our message here very shortly. I just want her to share one of her experiences about listening and hearing God speak to her. Maybe use this one.
So this story took place quite a long time ago, but it impacted me very greatly. We were missionaries in Brazil for quite a long time, and one day I was on a walk, and we had been away from our family. We had been away from Canada for a few years already, and I was really homesick and felt very alone in some ways. And so I was crying and praying on my walk, and I said to the Lord, God, I feel so sad, I feel so alone, and would you just please let me know somehow that you are hearing me? And I noticed there were some power lines running parallel to the road that I was walking on, and I noticed that there was a little bird perched on the power line, and before I knew it, that little bird flew from the power line and it landed on the road right in front of me and faced me, and it lifted up its little head and it just sang a song to me. And well, I cried even more. But I knew without a shadow of a doubt God had sent this little tiny winged creature to say, yes, I hear you. I hear when you pray, and I'm here for you always. And so that's just one of the times when God has spoken to me. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. So we need to pay attention. We need to ask, we need to expect, and we need to pay attention. And one of the ways, the last one there on the screens there, is just silence and solitude. God can speak to us when we take time. When we set aside time and ask God, speak to us. And perhaps we need to incorporate more silence and solitude in our lives and in our prayer time as well, to allow God to speak to us. So I believe that God does desire to speak to everyone here today. And perhaps there's someone today that is here who's not yet part of God's family, of God's flock, of his sheep, of his pasture. And this morning, Jesus is actually speaking to you, calling to you to be in relationship with him. So I encourage you to hear God's voice, his invitation of salvation. He is the good shepherd, as we've read, that has given his life for the sheep, for each one of us, so that we can experience life, an abundant life, and eternal life. So how we respond is by saying yes to Jesus' gift of salvation. So we've seen from this passage of John 10, and just in summary, that God speaks to us, that relationship is the basis for communication, and God's indwelling spirit allows for this communication to be possible. So for those of us who are God's sheep, we all need to continue to hear from God. And I believe that God continues to speak. So today, perhaps you are a wounded sheep here this morning, and you need to hear God's word of healing. Perhaps you're a grieving sheep, and you need to hear God's word of comfort. Or a worried sheep, and need to hear God's word of peace and trust. Or a rebellious sheep, and need to hear God's word of rebuke. Or a fallen sheep, and you need to hear God's word of forgiveness and acceptance. Or a wandering sheep, and need to hear God's gracious invitation to return to the fold. Or a tired and hungry sheep, and need to hear God's word of refreshment. Or a frightened sheep, and need to hear God's word of courage. Or a questioning sheep, and need God's word of direction and guidance. We are God's sheep, and the shepherd knows us and calls us by name. So I want to encourage you to ask him to speak to you and challenge you to open your hearts and your ears and your eyes and to say, as Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Let's have a moment of silent prayer, and then I'll say a prayer. Thank you, Father God, that you are the God who is a living God, a God who is a communicating God, and that you have revealed yourself through nature, through Jesus, through your word. Thank you that you want to speak with us and have made it possible by your Spirit. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us this day, this week, and the days ahead, that we would just have open hearts and open ears, open eyes just to hear you speaking to us, and that we would follow you where you lead us. Thank you that you have come, that we might have life and might have it abundantly through what you've done for us on the cross. In the name of Jesus, we give thanks. Amen.